We ask the question, have you ever received a tip or a piece of advice that has helped you? Brother Sammons, I wish 15 years ago someone had given me a tip about a little company called Google. I might have bought a penny stock that day. Amen. I've gotten tips before that people have given me concerning vehicle maintenance. Now, again, I've told you I am the least mechanical person you will ever meet. I mean that with all my heart. But I had a man years ago who taught me a trick to changing your oil. This was back in the days, and I don't know if they still do or not, when you had a distributor cap on your car. And some of you men right now are kind of grunting, saying, yeah, now you're talking my language, Pastor. And when you change the oil, you put the new oil in. He taught me. He said, "Take that plug wire out of the distributor cap and just start your car, and it won't start. But what it'll do is it'll get the oil into the system." And he said, "It keeps you from what's called hard starting." I said, "Good tip, amen. Keep your car life a lot longer." I think about some ladies that have gotten a good tip from cooking, and us men have well benefited. Hallelujah. Amen. I think especially of older ladies that know how to cook. I will tell you this. I have learned over the years, of many great things that I've learned this. Older ladies know how to cook a moist cake. And I still don't know why that is, but I know it's true. I remember even my wife, as good as a cook as she is, and she's not here tonight. Lukey's sick. It was good when we made that first cake, and it was... felt like a cat with a hairball, you know, just give me a glass of milk to get that down. Amen. And she, of course, you know, talked to her mother, got a tip on how to make a moist cake. I think of, you know, things we do in recreation. Some of you men are, and ladies even are golfers, and you've gotten tips on that. I remember the first time I ever went shooting a pistol, and I was trying to line up those sights, and I'm going, and I'm all over the map, and this man peeks out of one of the bays, and he looks at me, and I finished my clip, and I'm putting a new... He takes his headphones off. He says, "New shooter, huh?" I said, "Boy, is it that hard to tell? Amen." And he said, "What kind of gun is that?" And I told him what kind it is, and he said, "See that front sight, young man?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Point it at where you want the bullet to go and squeeze the trigger." I said, "Okay." And the next thing you know, I was making perfect patterns. It was a good tip. I actually have, and this is, you laugh, I'm telling you, this is the absolute truth. I have a foolproof tip for getting rid of the hiccups. It works every time. I'm only charging $25 if you want to see me after the service. I'll tell you exactly what it is after the service. Literally has worked every time. Every time I have ever gotten the hiccups, I tried this. Somebody gave me that tip. When you received a tip like one of those, like we're talking about, and it panned out, you were glad for it, and you couldn't wait to share it with somebody else, right? That's just the way we are. Well, can I tell you, such is tonight's message. This is not an original message, and it's not very often that I claim somebody else's message. I heard... What I'm going to give you tonight, I heard this years ago. A fella named Curtis Hudson, preacher named Curtis Hudson, preached this. And it blessed me so much. I've got the notes written originally, Brother Becker, in my Bible. It's all written out. And it's blessed me so much that I've used this every time that I have met with a couple for counseling. Be it a young couple getting ready to get married, or perhaps a couple that's maybe going through a difficult time. I have used this every time. Some tips that'll help you have a happy marriage. Let me give them to you tonight. Very practical. Very, very practical. Number one, be as considerate of each other as you were before you were married. That's the first tip. Be as considerate of each other as you were before you were married. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." I went to Bible college in 1997. And Midwestern Baptist College, we used to say there were several degrees you could get there. You could get an associate's degree. You could get a bachelor's degree. You could get a master's degree. You could get a doctorate's degree of divinity, and then you could get what every woman wanted, and that was an MRS degree. They wanted to get married to a preacher. The MRS degree, amen? And I remember watching, see, we were already married. This was a blessing of going to Bible college. I used to call this right here the get out of the dorm free card. I never had to spend one night in the dormitory. Amen. Carrie and I were able to get a house. But I used to watch the young people and how they would, we had a 6-inch rule at Midwestern. Boys and girls couldn't be 6 inches from one another. Amen. I'm telling you, there were some people, Brother Howell, and they measured it with a scale. They got just as close, and they would just, and he would walk up and he would open the door for her. And she would walk in, and when they went out for a bite to eat, he would pull the chair gently, not like some of you are thinking, you know. He would pull the chair gently. He treated her with such kindness and consideration. It should still be that way. Amen? She treated him, she wanted to bake his favorite dessert and she called mom for a recipe to make a moist cake, amen. And she tried, listen, she was just so concerned. I remember seeing this one couple. They were courting one another. And they were already chirping at one another. I mean, you see them in the open, chirping and fighting. Really fighting, arguing. And Carrie and I almost right away looked at each other and said, if they're doing that now, they're in big trouble. Amen. Because when you first start seeing one another, and when you're at your most considerate. You know, we should be as considerate of one another. Hey, fellas, it's still okay to open your wife's door. Amen. Ma'am, it's still okay to be considerate to your husband. I think sometimes that the years and the familiarity one with another, they kind of breed this apathy one towards another. It's still okay to be considerate. And you know, if you want a tip that'll help your marriage, be as considerate of your spouse as you were before you got married. Number two, and I like this one a lot, give attention to the little things. Give attention to the little things. The Bible says in Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Life is made up of little things. Fellas, let me help you. Flowers are little things, but they will help you. You don't just have to buy them when you really mess up. Matter of fact, if you get them sporadically, you'll find that you may not mess up as often. You may not need them nearly as often. Amen. I think of things like picnics. Just going out and it's just a little thing. I think of dates. You say, well, Pastor, I've been married 55 years. Listen to me and listen well. I'm your pastor. Take your wife out on a date. Oh, take her out on a date. You say, what does that mean? Listen, I remember one of our professors in Bible college, he had 6 children. And listen, when you have 6 children, money is probably the scarcest thing since oil reserves in, you know, I mean, you can't find any money. He told me this, he said, every week, my wife and I went out for Chinese food. We went on a date. Every week, once a week. For sanity's sake, amen, when you have 6 children. Listen, how important it is, little things. I think, you know, and please, I'm not tooting my own horn. I fail at little things. You have to be looking for little things. That's really the key. You have to kind of have your eyes open. And I saw, I came in the other day, and it was beautiful. You can't make this stuff up. I walked in the door. It was about 5:30. I walked in the door, and I hear my wife say, "No! What are you doing?" And I almost closed the door and ran, Brother Horse. Amen. I thought she was talking to me. Amen. And I see, and all of a sudden, my 2 boys come out of the bathroom that comes off of our kitchen. And Eric has water all over his hands. Now, there's only 2 items in a bathroom that have water in them. One is a sink, and the other is a toilet. And then Luke comes out of the bathroom. And Luke had a light-colored tan shirt that was now a dark tan. And his hair was completely soaked, Brother Boston. And he had the toilet brush in his hand. And I literally, again, Brother Horsch, I thought, you know, I've still got time. I can turn around and life will be beautiful. And I looked at her and she looked at me and I said, is there a parent in this house besides you and me? And I said, boys, upstairs. And we went upstairs and you know what we did? We took a bath and I said, Mom, just go get your breath, okay? Because I know for moms that happens all the day long. And then as we were just doing some things and kind of got the boys settled down, I went in and again, please don't come. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I went and just did the dishes for my wife. Trust me, she will tell you that is a rare occurrence that I do the dish. But I went and just cleaned up a little bit because I could see she was having a rough time. Hey, you know what? Give attention to the little things. It will help your marriage. The little things. You know, if you listen and pay attention to your wife or your husband, you will find opportunities to do little things for them that will be a blessing to them and will inadvertently strengthen your marriage. Give attention to the little things. This one is so important. Number three, don't. You can write that in big letters if you're making notes. Don't make comparisons to other marriages. Don't do that. You say, why, Pastor? 2 Corinthians 10:11 or 10:12 says this, for we dare not make ourselves of the number that compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, the lady says, gee, I wish he was my husband. And sometimes a man will say, I wish my wife treated me like that lady treats her husband. Or sometimes both will say, I wish our marriage was like theirs. Can I tell you this? And again, this is just a few years of learning and ministry. You have no idea what that marriage is really like that you're comparing yours to and want yours to be like. Everybody's got a public face. For all you know, when they get home, it's like, you know, two male cats. You have no idea. But I want to tell you this. The Bible says this. It's foolish to make comparisons. Because I'll tell you what happens. The devil gets in that and you start getting discontented. It's a good tip. Don't make comparisons with other marriages. Number four, turn misunderstandings around. It's an opportunity for you to understand better. I've learned this again. How you perceive things are is not always how they are. Did you ever find, I found that out the hard way. I was a youth pastor, and I was a gung-ho youth pastor. Pastor John and I are very similar in our styles, and I was an in-your-face youth pastor. If you weren't doing right or I thought you were doing something wrong, I didn't wait around and say, well, no, you know, no, I just got right up and you said, you're doing wrong. It's wicked. It's wrong. Get it right. Let's go. Get down on your knees. Pray. I was just, you know, that was me. And so I'd never forget. I went up to one young lady one time and I chided her for something that I thought she did. She said, Pastor, after I got all the way through and the tears welled up in her eyes, she said, Pastor Rich, I didn't do that. It was this person. And I learned a hard lesson. And by the way, the first thing I said was, I am so sorry, sweetheart. It's important for young people to hear that from us, that we make mistakes too. But turn misunderstandings around. Make an effort to understand your spouse's view. Find out where they're coming from. And can I say this? This is done by communicating one to another. We talk and we listen to one another. And if I could say this, if you want a simple formula to turn misunderstandings around, it's five S's. Or I'm sorry, four S's. Sit down. That's one of the best ways. You know, if you have a misunderstanding and you are over your spouse like this, it's probably not going to go as well as you would like it to. Just sit down. something else, speak softly. Now, I just want to make sure I understand this. A soft answer turneth away wrath, the Bible says. Something else. Ready for this S? That's two S's. Here's a third S. Listen to them. Amen? How are you going to turn a misunderstanding around if you're just barking? Listen to them. And then fourthly, search for some common ground in the misunderstanding. Now, honey, what I was thinking was this. And she says, well, no, that's not correct. It was really this. Oh, see, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Searching for some. By the way, let me just tell you this about misunderstandings. The silent treatment never works and it ought never to be an option. It doesn't work. Stop it. You know what I call the silent treatment? For marriage, it's this. That's what it is. It's a spiritual binky for immature people. I'm just going to ignore them. It's not going to make the problem go away. Turn misunderstandings around. Model your behavior after 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, the Bible says charity thinketh no evil. Something else. Number five. This is important. Learn to make adjustments because you're not exactly alike. You learn this. And I've made a joke out about this for years. You know, men and women are different, and that's a good thing. Help me. Amen. Aren't you glad, Brother Hauser, that you didn't marry you? Amen. Hallelujah. Every time I look at my wife, I think, boy, I married up. Amen. I look at me and I say, good night. I'm glad. I wouldn't want to be married to me. Listen, by the way, part of what attracted you to their spouse was that they were a little different than you are. You know, people nowadays, you've got all you've got eHarmony and all these online programs where they get people who are absolutely exactly alike. I say part of what attracted me to my wife was she was a little different than I was. I was a little different than she was. And so something that happens is, you know, our ideas and our opinions and our ways of doing things are different. And sometimes because we are different, we'll have some disagreements. But listen to me, learn to make some adjustments. Disagreements are inevitable. Arguments are avoidable and fights are horrible. We make adjustments. I've joked, and Carrie knows this. She won't be mad. She never listens to my sermons anyway. Amen. I've joked about this. Carrie will be late for her own funeral. I kid you not. That lady has just been late since the very day we started going. And how many of you are 5 minutes early people? Amen. How many of you are married to people that are 5 minutes late people? Amen. A few of us are. Amen. A few of us. And so I just started. We learned to make some adjustments. You say, what was the first adjustment we made? We got a second car. That's the first adjustment we ever made in our marriage. Amen. And then we started setting the clocks ahead. I'd set the clocks ahead 10 minutes. Amen. And so, we got to go. Oh, yeah, we got to go. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Amen. We got to make sure we're there. But listen, just make some adjustments. And as I mentioned this morning, you know, those little tiny things, they're not quite as big as we always make them out to be. Make some adjustments in your marriage. You know, compromise, if you're talking about the Bible, is a bad thing. Compromise in a marriage, trust me, is a good thing. It'll help you. It'll help you. And number six, and I like this too, try to be understanding of your spouse. Try to be understanding. I said try. You said, well, you don't. I said try to be understanding. You know, it's amazing. Why is it that we will be understanding with people that we work with? And we'll be understanding with the lady at the restaurant. I was thinking about the cooks. I couldn't believe that. Little Garrett got his teeth knocked out at, what was it? Los Tres Amigos. Reason enough not to go out for Mexican food. You get your teeth knocked out. No, literally, he was coming out of the bathroom and somebody was coming around with a tray. Boom, literally knocked out his two front teeth. You know what he's singing this Christmas? All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. But you know what? The cooks were understanding. It wasn't anybody's fault. It was a fluky thing. We're understanding with people at work, and we're understanding with people at the restaurant. I mean, I've been in situations where I've seen people actually have hot food dumped on them by mistake. And we're understanding with people at the checkout. They're trying to do their best. And you know, a lot of our young people work at Myers, and sometimes thing doesn't work just right. And we give them the benefit of the doubt, but listen, it's amazing how quick we are to jump on our spouse when something doesn't go just right. That's why I said try to be understanding. Do you know your spouse has bad days? If I didn't know that, I found it out this week when I walked in the door and saw both of my boys covered in toilet water. Gee, that was a rough time. Listen, I could have said, bless God, what's going on in here? This house should be spick and span and dinner should be ready. And Yeah. That would have gone over like a screen door on a submarine. Amen? Hey, listen, let's try to be understanding. Amen. Ma'am, sometimes your hubby has a tough day at work. Sometimes he's been under enormous pressure. Hey, fellas, sometimes just taking care of your children is a full-time job. Amen to that. Try to be understanding. Number 7. I want to make sure I got it here. Number one, be as considerate of each other as before you're married. Number 2, give attention to little things. Number 3, don't make comparisons to other marriages. Number 4, turn misunderstandings around. Number 5, learn to make adjustments. Number 6, try to be understanding. Number 7, try to be more patient. Try. Help me, church. Try. Try to be more patient. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Again, you know the people we're the most impatient with? Our family. Shouldn't be that way. Amen? Shouldn't be that way towards your spouse. Number 8, and this one is so important, trust each other completely. And guard that trust. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? The Bible says in Proverbs 31:11, talking about the virtuous woman, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Can I tell you this? This is the key tip for having a happy marriage. The key. When I tell my wife I'm making a hospital call, you know what I'm doing? I'm making a hospital call. When my wife tells me she's going down to Myers, you know where she is? Myers. She tells me she's going out with some of the ladies from the church. Listen, there's never a second thought in my mind because we trust one another completely. You got to let somebody in real close to have that kind of trust. And nobody ought to be closer to you than your spouse. Trust each other completely. And I'll tell you what, a lack of trust opens up an entire can of what I call stinking thinking about your spouse and is completely contrary to Philippians 4:8. Completely contrary to our text verse which says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, think on these things. That's the way you ought to think about your spouse. That's the way you ought to trust your spouse. Trust each other and guard that trust. How do I guard it, Pastor? 2 things. Do not lie one to another. Don't lie one to another. Even when you're trying to sneak a Christmas gift or something in on them, amen? Do your best to never lie one to another. And number 2 is don't be overly friendly with the opposite sex. More men have gotten themselves in trouble by being overly friendly. And listen, I'm not talking in the confines of a church, shaking hands and being polite, all those things. I'm talking about the flirtatious stuff. And I'll tell you what it does. It bothers your wife, sir. Amen? It bothers your wife because you don't treat her that way. And it's bad news all the way around. Trust each other and guard that trust. Number 9. Be best friends and share each other's interests if you want to have a happy marriage. Be best friends and share each other's interests. Ladies, let me help you. Get to know a little bit about sports if your husband likes sports. By the way, my wife will put some men in this church to shame. what she knows about sports. She can tell you what a blindside blitz is. She can tell you what a suicide squeeze is. She can tell you what a Texas League. I mean, she knows sports. She's been married to me for 15 years. It's so let it be written, so let it be done. It must be, amen? I like sports. And I'm not saying that's the only thing, but you ought to learn to share their interests. Never do I have a better time than when I get to go to the ballpark with my wife. I'd rather go with my wife than anybody else in the world. We're best friends. Something else, hey fellas, you may have to pull the car over for the occasional garage sale or craft fair. Boy, I just made friends. Hey, if that's what your wife likes, why don't you look every man not on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, Philippians 2:4 says. Put her, what she wants to do, above what you want to do. Hey, be best friends and share each other's interests. Be best friends. You ought not to be closer to anyone than you are to your spouse. Number 10. And we mentioned this, but we'll kind of dwell on a little bit here. Talk with and listen to each other. Every divorce is the result of an unresolved conflict. Everyone. No matter what it is, it's the result of an unresolved conflict. And that is a direct result of communication breakdown. Stop talking. Didn't deal with the situation. Didn't act in a Christ-like manner. By the way, I'm not picking at you if you're divorced. Please don't misunderstand me. But we need to talk and listen to one another if we're going to have a happy marriage. Listen, folks. My wife, Luke will be 2 next month. My wife talks to a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old all day long. When I come in the house, you know what she wants me to do? Just listen. Just listen to her. Just talk. Go back. Hey, going back, remember those days? I'm going to tell you something. Before my wife and I when we were courting one another, she lived in Virginia and I lived in Massachusetts. I'm going to tell you something. We just about owned AT&T, Brother Holy. Those calls on Sunday night, you get that bill and you're like, wow, how much per minute is that? You know, it was just incredible. Why? Because we couldn't get enough of talking and listening one to another. You want to have a happy marriage? Talk and listen one to another. And can I say this? And this is for free. God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. And that means we're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. Amen? Number 11, watch family finances if you want a tip to have a happy marriage. Watch family finances. Listen, I know it's tough. But if I could say this, just counseling with folks and being in the ministry a little while, the 3 biggest problems in marriage are income, intimacy, and in-laws. You say, is that true? Well, I've kidded for a long time with my wife. I said, boy, I have great in-laws. They live 750 miles away. They're fantastic in-laws. Love them, amen? Love them the 2 times every 2 years I see them. Now, I really do have good in-laws. But in-laws can certainly cause a problem in a marriage. Intimacy can cause a problem in a marriage. And really, income, debt can really be a weight on a relationship. Let me just give you some quick principles. And you say, well, Pastor, we've all been married a long time. Well, not everybody. Here's some things. Number one, give to God first and live on the rest. Amen? You can live much better on 90%. God, the tithe is God's. Amen? That's the first 10% of our pay, gross pay, amen. That belongs to God. And you can live a lot better on 90% with God's blessing than 100% without it. Amen. So give to God first. And obviously, beyond that, there's offerings, there's missions, there's all kinds of things. But give to God first and live on the rest. Something else that helps in a marriage is to do the bills together. Do the bills together. Sometimes one party or another party will accidentally spend because they didn't do the bills together and they overspent and now they got an overdraft and you get extra money coming out that you didn't have. Do the bills together. And by the way, can I say that's ultimately the husband is ultimately responsible for the finances because it's the husband's job. Something else, set a budget together, weekly, monthly, however you want to do it. And here's something that goes right along with that. Stick with the budget. It's easy to set a budget. You could set a budget for $1 billion, amen? Stick to the budget. And then listen, there are always things that happen. Please don't think I'm being irrational or anything like that. But something else about that, be generous, but don't be foolish. Be generous in offerings, but don't be foolish. Be generous. Maybe you want to take somebody out for dinner, but don't pick up the check every time you go out to dinner. Amen? Don't be foolish. Something else. Don't have the my money attitude. Well, this is my money and this is her money. No. If you got one of these on, it's all your money. Amen. And I'm talking about a Christmas club or something like that. No. If you're, listen, the day my wife and I got married, it became our money. And I'm glad we had that attitude because now with two children at home, it's just my income that provides for our home. And you know what it is? It's our money. It's our money. Amen. Because we're married. Amen. So don't have that my money attitude. And something else, especially for the young people, stay away from credit cards and high interest loans. Amen. They will hang with you as some of us are currently diving out of. Amen. So my wife and I have been trying to pay those off for years. It's amazing how quick it is to run them up, Brother Glenn, and how long it takes you to pay them off. It sticks with you. And something else, be responsible in watching family finances. What do you mean, Pastor? 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Sometimes there's just a spot to just be a man. Amen. Be responsible. Watch family finances. Number 12, the husband must lead the home. Help me, church. The husband must. We've dealt with this in our series, so we'll not stay long on it. But the husband must lead the home. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. I won't dwell long there. Sir, lead your home. Lead your home. Lead your home. Lead in love, by the way. We mentioned that. You don't have to lead in lordship. It's easy to follow. It's easy for a wife to follow a husband that leads in love. It's easy. It really is. Number 13. Do not embarrass one another in public. Do not embarrass one another in public. Carrie and I made this resolution long before we were married that we would never embarrass one another. And on two separate occasions, one by each of us, hallelujah. Usually it's me that sticks my foot in my mouth. But two separate occasions, we got within a hair's breadth of embarrassing one another. And we have something that we've designated as the look. The look. Brother Cohn, the look means you're getting real close to crossing a line. How many of you are familiar with the look? I remember one time for me it was this. Amen. I can't help but smile, and I do it now, but at that time I was not smiling. It meant you're just about to break a rule that we've had our entire marriage. And she did the same thing to me one time. I was telling some story and I looked over at you and she went, you know, that just proves we're getting older, by the way. You know? And whose phone's ringing? Tell them I'm not available. Whoever it is, just tell them I'm not available. Amen? They're probably asking for some marriage tips. Amen? Do not embarrass one another in public. Again, Philippians 2:3. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Don't embarrass her, sir. Don't embarrass him, ma'am. Especially in public. Number 14. And this is a good one. Compliment and praise each other. Compliment and praise each other. Again, Proverbs 31:28, talking about the virtuous woman. Her children arise up and calleth her blessed, and her husband also, he praiseth her. It's still okay, sir, do you say, That was a real good dinner, honey. Thank you. She doesn't have to, you know, cook you a good dinner. She could throw a TV dinner in the oven and say, here you go. Hey, that was a great dinner, hon. My wife has told me on several occasions, boy, I sure appreciate that, honey. I appreciate you. I love you. You look nice. All kinds of little things like that. Compliment and praise one another. It doesn't have to be false or hollow, but compliment and praise one another. Number 15, after the honeymoon, you can still have honey in your home. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Verbally tell them, I love you. I love you. It's okay. Now, some of you said, well, when I got to the altar and my wife was there, I said, I love you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Trust me, sir. Your wife needs to hear I love you. I love hearing it. When little Eric or Luke come up to me and they say, Luke will say, Nuggy Daddy, you want to talk about me? And I feel like, you know, I feel like the world. My wife tells me I love you. I appreciate you. That's keeping honey in the home. Something else is you can still give a hug or a smooch. Somebody said, ooh, I don't know about that. Give it a try. Let me know how it works out. Amen. What is that? That's keeping honey in the home. I appreciate you. I love you. Number 16, and lastly, look attractive. It's still okay to dress up. My wife tells me, she said, I love it when we have something and you wear a tuxedo. I said, man, you just look good in a tuxedo. And I said, well, it's the tuxedo that looks good because I don't look good in anything. Amen. But everybody looks good in a tuxedo. Amen. Or she'll get her makeup done and I'll say, you know what, you look nice. It's still okay to do that. You know what happens is we get so familiar with each other. We walk around in our PJs. Nowadays, people wearing their PJs to Walmart. It's incredible. Amen. You ever see that? I walked into Walmart one time and there's this woman and she had these pink pajamas with like Reese's peanut butter cups all over them and bunny slippers. I kid you not. She's walking around Walmart. I thought, are you kidding me? Ladies, it's still okay to do your hair. Oh, listen, I understand. Every day, I remember hearing or reading some stuff years ago that said every woman ought to be up at 5 a.m. before her husband goes to work and have herself completely all ready and all this. And I read that and I said, really? And my wife said, not a chance, big boy. I'm not talking about being foolish, but it's still okay to dress up and look sharp for your spouse. Hey, you would have looked sharp for her or him when you were courting, wouldn't you? I hope you wouldn't have shown up in the Reese's peanut butter pants and the bunny slippers. Look sharp. Trust me, sir, if you dress sharply, your wife will appreciate it. And vice versa, ma'am. Amen. Just some tips. Probably one of the most practical lessons or messages I've ever taught. Be as considerate as you were of each other before you're married. Number two, give attention to little things. Number three, don't make comparisons to other marriages. Number four, turn misunderstandings around. Number five, learn to make adjustments. Number six, try to be understanding. Number seven, try to be more patient. Number eight, trust each other completely. Guard that trust. Number nine, be best friends. Share each other's interests. Number 10, talk with and listen to each other. Number 11, watch family finances. Number 12, husband, lead your home. Number 13, don't embarrass each other. Number 14, compliment and praise each other. Number 15, after the honeymoon, you can still have honey. And number 16, look attractive for your spouse. Amen. Tips for a happy marriage. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for